208 Afternoons with Aaron. It's a Tuesday, which means our good friend Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, doing well, Aaron. How about yourself?
Hey, doing good, doing good.
Good. Beautiful day.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous. I should mention right off the bat, no show next week because we'll be out at the fair.
Okay.
Just
I thought maybe you'd like me to come out and join you at the fair.
You know, I have to look at my interview schedule. Let me double check. I know I have a couple each day, but let me double check. You know what? I might be free during this time.
Okay. So well, let me know.
Yeah, we can do a Jonesy on the road.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I can get there. You bet. Anyway.
So
let's talk sports.
So with Spencer's season being done, what did you do this weekend?
Not a whole lot. I had a class reunion on Saturday. I guess that was probably the big highlight. And 40th class reunion, but it was our 42nd year out because we got COVIDed out twice, and fun to get together at Greenlee Golf with a lot of my old classmates and reminisce about our days. And other than that, not a whole lot of baseball going on in the Jones house right now or any other sports.
So did your class reunion get a pretty good crowd?
You know, being it was 2 years past the 40th, it wasn't a great crowd by any means. We like to call it was an intimate crowd because a lot of times in the past we've had bumper-to-bumper people in Greenlee and outside of Greenlee, and when you have a lot, and this time because it was kind of an off year, we didn't have as many, and you were able to go around and really talk to everybody who was there, and we had a good time. Made for an easier group picture, too.
And if you are a friend with Tom Jones on Facebook, you got to check out Jonesy's picture from high school. I love the suit. I love the hair. Looking good. Looking good, my friend.
Hey, I always laugh on that picture, too, Aaron. I think that picture was taken on a Friday of homecoming, if my memory is correct. And I think that was also the first day I had ever shaved. And I had such a baby face on that picture. Good memories, though. Yeah, the disco Tom, the corduroy suit, and the silk shirt. I mean, the only thing I was missing was the puka shells.
Now, speaking of memories, let's talk about two of the twins that were inducted into the Hall of Fame over the weekend, Tony Oliva and Jim Cott, two guys that I know long, long-time Twins fans have been hoping for a while that they both get in, especially Tony O. What do you have for memories for those two guys?
Well, Jim Cott, of course, what more can you say about him? What a career. And he came to Albert Lea on the Winter Caravan back in Mike Sullivan's days as a sports director, and I actually was not able to go that night. But, you know, Mike got a picture signed for me, which I still have, and he's just a great guy. What an ambassador for baseball. I've never met him. I've read his book, and I think he's got another new book coming out here in August, if I'm not mistaken. And long overdue. I mean, 25 years in the big leagues, and Kelvin Griffith basically gave up on him and released him, went to the White Sox, and he got back with his old pitching coach, Johnny Sane, who had been with the Twins, and boy, next thing you knew, he was back to 20 wins again, and he's one of those guys, that a left-hander that he could probably throw the ball into a coffee can if the catcher was holding that, because he didn't throw super hard, but boy, did he throw well. And a long career, and of course, the broadcasting career, and he's still doing Twins games. And when you listen to him, it's just amazing to hear the history of baseball. I was surprised his speech on Sunday was shorter than Tony's, but as far as Tony's concerned, he's been to town a few times and met him, and great guy, and what an ambassador, too, for not only the Minnesota Twins, but the state of Minnesota. I think he would do anything for the Twins to go anywhere. I remember a few years ago up in Bird Island, they were hosting you might have even been there, and they were hosting the state amateur baseball tournament. Tony was there representing the Twins, and my cousin got to drive him around all over everywhere, and she just said, too, what a gentleman he was, and still remaining, and I think, again, long overdue when you look at his statistics, too, and I'm glad to get those guys in, because they're still alive, they're still in great shape, and they made for a great induction.
Now, Jonesy, one guy that, again, does have Twins connections because he has started his career with the organization is a big poppy, David Ortiz, of course, going in as a Boston Red Sox. And I didn't do any searching online. Do you remember offhand exactly what happened? Because that was back in the Tom Kelly days. Wasn't TK the manager then?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's interesting you should say that because I was reminiscing about that today. If you read David Ortiz's book, I think it's called Big Poppy, it talks about that and how the Twins had to make a choice for a DH back then, and they had Matthew Lecroy batting from the right side, a catcher, and you had David Ortiz, and they ended up taking Matthew Lecroy, and of course the rest is history for that part. But I always loved Ortiz. When he was with the Twins, I can remember just he was two or three batters away and I needed to go somewhere, I would stay to watch because his home runs were mammoth as a Twin. And somebody might not know this either. He originally was a David Arias, A-R-I-A-S was his name when he was with Seattle and the Twins acquired him and ended up being David Ortiz. I think that's another story I'm not quite familiar with. But his first baseball cards he had out were David Arias, A-R-I-A-S, as I said. But, yeah, great guy, great ambassador to the game, too. Boy, he could hit the ball a long ways.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. And what's interesting is I kind of forgot about how things ended with David Ortiz and the Minnesota Twins, because we talk a lot as Minnesota sports fans about mistakes that our franchises have made. And that one I don't think gets talked about a lot, but obviously brought up this week with David Ortiz going into the Hall of Fame. And I look at David Ortiz, and you can tell me if you agree with this, Miguel Sano, who's back with the big league club, I think, is starting today. Are the Twins, and again, these are different managers, different owners, different GMs running the team, but do you think the Twins continue to hold on to Miguel Sano because they don't want to make a mistake like they did years ago with Big Poppy?
Interesting. I had a little conversation back and forth with somebody I don't know on Facebook about that, and he told me to quit living in the past, but my goodness, I mean, you look at that mistake the Twins made a long time ago. I really think that Miguel will come through here in the next week when he gets some at-bats again. And there's a picture the Twins had put on their Facebook page of the lineup tonight with Miggy on that, and he definitely has lost some weight. I had read that he has slimmed down. If you look at that picture on the Twins website, or Facebook page, I should say, you'll see that he definitely has slimmed up. And you send down Celestino, he's been hitting 200 as of late, and I think that's a good move. You just can't find 30 home run hitters on the street corner, and for that to be able to come back for the Twins is great, and to be able to have somebody like that, hopefully he can come through.
Jonesy, have you ever gotten over to well, it's not Miller Park, what is it now, American Family Insurance Stadium, I think, over there in Milwaukee?
Yeah, no, I never have. I rode Amtrak by the stadium one time. But I have yet to go to that, and my in-laws don't live that far in Madison. I always wanted to go over there for a game, but have yet to do that. But I would imagine there's a few people heading that direction right now.
Yeah, it's a good setup for Twins fans. I know it's not the best, and I think the television broadcast talked about this when Milwaukee was in town for a couple of games, that, you know, maybe it'd be better if it was on the weekend because the Twins' attendance against the Brewers was way up, and I'm sure attendance today in Milwaukee and tomorrow is going to be way up. I do kind of like the setup with a night game tonight and a day game tomorrow. It kind of makes a quick trip, and I'm sure there's probably a Twins fans in the area that are making that cruise over, and we'll come back sometime later tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, for the people in the metro area, too, we just jump on 94 and eventually catch 90, and makes for about a 5 or 6 hour drive over there if you're a big baseball fan. And hopefully we'll see a good crowd. I'll never forget the game back in 1986, I believe it was, where Kirby Puckett had his 6 hits in a game against Milwaukee. It was on a Sunday afternoon. I remember watching that ball game, and that was at the old County Stadium, of course. But a lot of good memories of Milwaukee, and some of our older listeners, too. Back in the day, back in the 50s, the Milwaukee Braves were the team that Minnesotans cheered for because we didn't have a professional team other than what was going on in Minneapolis with the Millers and the Saints and St. Paul. But for big league baseball, you had to go to Milwaukee. And the Braves back in the 50s had some tremendous teams and had some great World Series too.
Tom Jones on the Tom Jones Tuesday. Again, the Twins tonight right here on Kate, 6:30 pregame, first pitch at 7:10. Vikings training camp, I think fans are allowed in on Friday this upcoming weekend. Vikings training camp, is that something that you get excited for at all?
Not at all, since I left Mankato. You know, as a kid, we'd go to Mankato and we'd hang out and get autographs. I can remember getting Fran Tarkington's, Bud Grant's, the legends of the Vikings. And eventually that kind of went its way, and they would have certain guys, I should say, signing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever. But back then it was a fun thing to do. And then when they went up to the new place up in Eden Prairie, not Eden Prairie, wherever it's at now, Egan, I guess it is.
Egan, yep.
And, yeah, it's taken the fun out for the fan in my mind, and being able to go one day doesn't mean a whole lot, but it's not as accessible there, I don't think, either, from what Mankato was up on the hill at Mankato State. I always enjoy, too, Aaron, I look at some of my football cards from the 1970s of the Vikings, Fred Cox, Ron Yeary, whoever, and I could see the Gage dormitory in the background, and that's the dormitory I lived in when I was in college. So I look at some of those cards and see the Vikings and see the dorm. It just brings back some great memories. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thinking about that, too, and going into Blakely Stadium when they would play in the afternoon and practice. And I can remember they'd use a machine to kick a football, like you have with a baseball, the pitches of baseball. And it would send that football a mile high, a mile long, and they would work on kickoff returns. It was quite the event.
No, I agree with you 100%. You know me, I'm a huge Vikings fan. I have not been up to Egan to check out training camp. I loved it in Mankato. I got pictures of my 14-year-old son, well, he was probably 6 or 7 at the time, and we were watching Teddy Bridgewater practice, and there's just a different atmosphere. I'm sure the facilities up there in Egan, for anyone that's been up there, I'm sure they're top-notched, you know, millions and millions of dollars. I'm sure they're cool, but it just doesn't compare to that college atmosphere. And like you said, the accessibility, it just felt more like a training camp. I don't know how you get that feel when you're having your camp at this, you know, multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar facility.
Yeah, and, you know, Aaron, I'll be honest with you, are they even in camp yet? I mean, that's how much I know that if they're even in camp.
They're reporting.
Okay. Back then, I mean, everything was covered, and the guys coming into camp, and you'd have big stories in the papers, and I still read the papers and still read a lot of stuff online, but you just don't see that media of approach that Southern Minnesota, Minnesota Vikings, or Mankato had.
Absolutely. Tom Jones on a Tom Jones at Tuesday. Anything else sports-wise you want to talk about?
Well, I got a couple things on my notes here.
Yeah.
That, tonight, Albert Lee, I had an email from Paul Durban. They're having a meeting with the parents to go update the coaching search for the Albert Lee girls basketball program.
Okay.
I'm not sure what's going on there because I'm going to be officiating up in Blooming tonight. But the Albert Lee girls is also the last regular game because at the end of July you can no longer have contacts with your high school coaches or high school basketball program. Tonight the girls play at Medford. They'll play 2 out of 3 games. And if you want to see some boys basketball, Aaron, tomorrow night in Albert Lee, Harrison Cates' boys will be playing at 6 o'clock. Starting at 6 o'clock, there'll be 3 games. We will play 2 of them, and those will be out at Albert Lee High School. So if you're looking for some basketball action with baseball not going on anymore, head out to the high school tomorrow night. And that's what I have for the week.
You know, I don't know why they're searching for a new girls' head basketball coach, because I told Carol Hansen it's not official until I get a news release that she's retiring.
That's right.
Until we have a press conference here in the Cates studios. It doesn't count to me. There's no way.
Yeah.
It's going to be so different without having a Carol Hansen coaching basketball. So I don't think it's official yet. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic.
I would agree with you. And I told Carol, too, I said, now I can start the clock for you to be in the High School Hall of Fame if you're actually going to be retired, because it's 5 years for coaches to be retired from a head coaching job to get into the Hall of Fame. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. But they're doing something tonight anyway to update us parents about it. And hopefully they'll find a good coach and the girls program will take off, and they've got some good numbers coming up.
I always love working with Carol. So I'm going to miss her. That's I got to give her a hard time, because I'm going to miss her.
Absolutely. I think we all are. She's just a tremendous coach, and the amount of effort and time she put in over the years, and maybe I can get her into officiating a little bit. But I think she's just ready to retire. I mean, she's had a great run as a teacher, a tremendous teacher. Everybody loves her, great coach, and coached multiple sports, too, in Albert Lee of one sport or another. So, yeah, maybe we can get her on some broadcasts, too.
Well, I know one place you always see a Carol is out at the fair next week. And, Jonesy, what are some of your favorite things about the Freeborn County Fair?
Oh, used to be going on rides, but as I've gotten older, I can't go. Being able to spin around my head doesn't do that anymore, so I don't go on any rides. And I think it's just going out and seeing the booths and seeing the different people. That in a lot of cases, last year was our first year back after COVID, and you'll see a lot more people that you haven't seen for a couple of years, and walking around, seeing the different booths. And I enjoy watching going in the 4-H booth and seeing the talent. The kids, their 100th year anniversary, I believe, of Fremont County 4-H this year. So I was once a 4-H club member in a club called Murtaugh 4-H back in the 70s, and I mentioned that to a few of the people in the 4-H office that, yeah, I was a Murtaugh alumni. So actually, the town of Murtaugh was somewhat down by the train tracks that go towards Glenville, I think, way back when. And our friend Mike Murtaugh, that would be a relative of his, too. So, but, yeah, just seeing people. I'm not a big fair food guy. With type 2 diabetes, a lot of that stuff isn't the best for me. So
I suppose, yeah.
I don't tend to not to eat a whole lot about the fair. But it's fun. I enjoy it. And the concerts. Ted Nugent, I saw him a couple years ago when he was there 3 or 4 years ago, and he put on quite a show. And I wasn't a big Ted Nugent fan in high school, but I did say I did enjoy his concert for the most part.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. We'll see if we can get Tom out at the fair. Maybe, yeah. We're going to do a Tom Jones Tuesday out at the fair next week. We'll get that done. Jonesy, thank you so much for the time. Have a great week. And we'll figure out something. We'll probably talk next week.
Hey, that sounds great. Everybody have a great week, and I appreciate having the time every Tuesday.